This is ProBlogger.
Hi there and welcome to episode 235 of the ProBlogger podcast. My name's Darren Rouse and I'm the blogger behind ProBlogger.com. A blog, podcast, event, job board, series of ebooks and courses all designed to help you to start an amazing blog, to create content for that blog that's going to change the world, it's going to change your readers' lives, to grow traffic to your blog and to build profit around your blog as well. You can learn more about what we do at ProBlogger.com. In particular, check out our brand new course, How to Start a Blog, our ultimate guide to starting a blog, and check out our new course, which is coming in the next few weeks, 31 Days to Build a Better Blog, which is perfect for new bloggers and intermediate bloggers who want to give their blog a kick start. You can find our Start a Blog course at problogger.com/start-a-blog and 31 Days to Build a Better Blog at problogger.com/31-days, or just over on ProBlogger, look for the courses tab and you'll find them all. Now in today's episode, I want to talk about building authority and influence with your audience. This topic came up as I was talking to a number of the bloggers who just completed our Starter Blog course. We just graduated 103 bloggers. They've just started their brand new blogs. We posted links to all of them on our site. So if you want to check them out, head over to ProBlogger today. I'll actually link to them in our show notes as well. And these 103 bloggers, just like all bloggers starting out, they're starting from scratch. And they've got a number of challenges. One, they need to create content. Two, they need to build traffic. But also, more important than building traffic, they need to actually build influence. They need to build authority. They need to build credibility. This is one of the things that a number of new bloggers have talked to me about in the last few weeks. They can see the traffic coming in, but how do they actually become someone with authority on their topic? How do they become someone who is trusted as a credible source of information? How do you build this when the traffic that's coming in has no idea who you are? It's one thing to get traffic, but how do you build influence? And in this episode, I want to share 13 things that I've noticed good influencers do to build this authority and credibility with their audience. You can find today's show notes at problogger.com/podcast/235.
Creating great content, finding an audience, building engagement, monetizing your blog. This is ProBlogger.
Okay, so today we're talking about how do you build authority, how do you build influence, how do you take this traffic from being giving you their attention to actually beginning to feel connected to you on this deeper level and seeing you as someone to be trusted. Now, there's a number of different approaches to this. And the old school way of thinking about this, and I've seen many people build their business in this kind of old school way, that school of thought would say, you know, gather as much knowledge as you can and then show what you know, show what you've achieved, be an expert, look the part. If you don't know it all, fake it till you make it, be confident, promote yourself. And this is kind of the advice that I grew up, you know, seeing other people living out. And this kind of approach works sometimes, but over the years, I've noticed that there's a lot of bloggers, a lot of podcasters who don't take that kind of approach. This approach where you build your authority by telling everyone that you're an authority. You know, that's the approach that I see a lot of bloggers doing. And sometimes it does actually work, but in most cases, I don't think it does today. I think things have changed. And so what I want to give you today is 13 things that I think you can do to help you to build some authority. We might call this the authority 2.0. It's a slightly different approach. It's not just about telling everyone that you've got authority and that they should trust you, but it's a deeper way. And it's perhaps a little bit slower in some ways, but it's actually more powerful, more sustainable. It's hard to put your finger exactly on how someone builds authority. And so I can't give you a definitive list of all the characteristics of these kinds of people. But in this episode, I want to share some of the common characteristics that I've noticed in meeting people who do have influence. And they're the people who I guess have had influence upon me. And really, I guess one of the things I would say before I get into my list is that I would encourage you to think about who influences you and to do some analysis on why you think they influence you. Because really, that is the answer. If you do that sort of analysis yourself, what individuals, what authors, what companies, what friends influence you? If you can unlock why they influence you, you probably find the answer as well. And that's really how I've come up with this list. I will say, I don't know anyone who's got all of these 13 characteristics, but let me have a go at describing some of what I've noticed about them. Okay, so number one, this is what I've noticed. Their authority isn't just built upon what they know, but how generously they share what they know. Now, I'm not discounting the fact that you need to know something about your topic. I do believe that the more you know about your topic, the better position you're going to be in to be seen as a credible, authoritative type of person talking about your topic. Knowledge is important, but if you want to be influential, if you want to actually be trusted, if you want to be seen as someone that people want to connect with, it's probably just as important to be known as someone who's generously sharing what they know. So again, let me say that again. Their authority isn't just built upon what they know, but how generously they share what they know. And I've seen this time and time again. Sometimes the people who rise to the top of the niche don't know the most, but they share everything that they know. I think of my own situation, digital photography school. I am not a professional photographer. And a lot of people, are surprised at that. You've built this site with millions of readers. How did you do that? You must be a professional photographer. You must know a lot about photography. Well, the reality is, I didn't know a lot about photography. I knew enough to teach beginners, and I shared everything I knew on that topic. I share this one as number one because I want to be an encouragement to those of you who are struggling with imposter syndrome. And this is something I see time and time again with bloggers starting out. They want to write on a topic, but they're not an expert in that topic yet. And so they discount themselves as being someone who should have a blog on that topic. You can be an intermediate level and write about that topic as long as you are transparent about what you know and what you don't know, and as long as you are aiming to teach people who are a bit behind you on that journey. And that's important. Be known not just as someone who knows a lot about what you're writing about, but as someone who shares everything that they know. That goes a long way as well. Not to discount that you need to know something. You can't just bluff your way through it. It's not just a fake it and make it kind of approach. You do need to know something, and you need to be a learner on your topic, and you need to be growing in your knowledge. But it's more just as important to be known as someone who is generously sharing everything that they know. So number one, their authority isn't just built upon what they know, but how generously they share what they know. Number two, they don't just talk about what they know, but they also share what they don't yet know. And this comes into what I was just talking about, is that transparency. The old school way of building authority is to just build yourself up, to present yourself as the expert, as the guru. The reality is, none of us know everything about our topic, and so we need to be clear with people that we have strengths and to promote those strengths, but we also need to show people that there are areas that we don't yet know and that we're still learning about. So that transparency about where your expertise ends and who you are best at serving, those type of things are really important. And if you've been traveling with ProBlogger over the years, you know that I'm not the most technical blogger in the world. And I quite often in my Facebook Live say, I don't know the answer to that question about servers or domains or those types of things. I know enough to teach a beginner, but I will find the answer for you, because it's not an area of expertise for me. And I'm putting people around me who can fill in those gaps. So don't just talk about what you know, talk about what you don't know. Whilst that might seem a little bit counterintuitive, it actually has a big impact upon your readers, because they will trust you so much more, because they see that you are willing to admit to a weakness or a deficiency in your knowledge in some way. It's a very powerful thing. It's a way of making a really deeper connection with people. So don't just talk about what you know, talk about what you don't yet know.
You're listening to ProBlogger.
Number three thing is that these people that I'm thinking of who influence me and that I see as authorities learn in public. They learn in public, and this is all a part of that transparency. When people see you as someone who's still learning on a topic, who's still gathering knowledge, who admits that they don't know everything, that has a big impression. But when you learn in public and share the journey of your learning, that is something that people want to be a part of as well, because they can relate to that. They're on your blog because they want to learn about that topic. And when they see you learning and sharing immediately what you're learning, then that's a powerful thing. And so some of the things that you can do to learn in public is to do interviews. And I've used the example of Michael Stelzner from Social Media Examiner, one of the biggest social media blogs on the planet right now. He started out as someone who didn't really know a lot about social media by doing interviews at conferences with social media experts. And one of the things that reasons he did that was to learn from these people. He said, I couldn't get one-on-one coaching sessions with them all, so I decided to interview them and record those interviews and then share those interviews. And so it became a content creation strategy, but it also was a learning strategy for him. It also built relationships with the people he was interviewing. And so he was learning in public, and he was asking the questions he wanted the answers to, one, to gather his own knowledge and to improve the position that he was in, but also to create content that he knew would be relatable to other people who were in that same position. So interviews are a great way of doing this. Doing experiments in public can be really important as well. And I've seen, people like Pat Flynn do this over the years really well. He's known for doing experiments in starting new blogs, starting new businesses in public. He doesn't do them behind closed doors and then report what happened. He actually says, here's what I'm doing. Watch me do it. I'm experimenting. I'm learning. And people can really relate to that. Talking about the failures as well as the success is really important. Asking lots of questions. And this is one of the things I used to do on ProBlogger all the time, is have blog posts that were me seeking information from my readers and me asking, what would you do in this situation? That, again, seems a bit counterintuitive. Shouldn't you as the expert be telling everyone what the answer is? No. People actually respect when you don't know all the answers and when you're trying to find the answers for people. You will learn, and as a result, you'll become more of an authority on your topic, more of an expert, because you'll be gathering these answers. So don't pretend you know it all. Learn in public is a very powerful thing that you can do. Tied into this is my fourth point, is that they use case studies, both case studies of themselves and others. So talk about the experiments that you've done, report back on what you are learning and what you're doing, but also doing case studies of other people can be a very powerful way for you to learn, but also for you to build credibility, particularly when you're doing case studies of what you are doing with other people. So let me give you an example on ProBlogger. When I started ProBlogger, one of the things I did semi-regularly was to do case studies of how it would improve another blog. Sometimes these were blogs that hadn't actually asked me to do this case study. It was just me seeing something and thinking, I like the way they do this. This is what I would do to improve their blog. And to actually write that type of post in a positive way. I never critiqued what they were doing. It was just suggestions and a constructive kind of thing. And down the track, people began to ask me to critique their blog and to coach them. And so instead of coaching them one-on-one in private, I would coach them in public, and I would write little critiques of their blog with their permission in public. And this became really useful in the type of content that my readers wanted. The post became very popular, but they also showed that I knew what I was talking about. And this is one of the things that I've learned over the years, is that when you can demonstrate your knowledge indirectly, that's a very powerful thing. So, the old school way of building authority is to tell everyone what you know. But when you do this type of public coaching, in this sort of case study, you're demonstrating what you know. You're actually showing people what you know by just doing it and by giving advice to someone else. And people find that as a less confrontational way of building authority. So instead of telling people what you know, actually show them what you know in an indirect way, whether that be through a case study, whether that be through public learning or public coaching in some way. Number five is that they show vulnerability. And this really, I guess, comes into this transparency that I was talking a little bit about earlier. They don't just show their credentials and strengths, but also their weaknesses in that way. And that's vulnerability. And there's been a lot written over the years about vulnerability. Brené Brown has written some great stuff on that topic. It's similar to that transparency one earlier, but I really want to emphasize it here because there's something about being vulnerable in public that people really do respect. It builds relatability, and it also shows that you're a human being. And one of the things I've noticed over the years about people who take this old school way of building their authority, you know, telling everyone what they know, is that they almost become superhuman. It's almost like they become a bit robotic, and sometimes they come across as having it all so much together that they don't actually relate to me. People like to see the frailties and the humanness in other people as well. And so showing your vulnerabilities is important. And as part of that, to show as much of your personality and your personal situation, your personal life, as you feel comfortable to do. Now, this doesn't mean you need to be Instagramming your family life, and you might want to have some boundaries around some of that. But people do appreciate when you are able to weave into your content the fact that you are a normal person, and to, I guess, show a little bit of yourself in that way can be powerful. So last year, I think it was, I had one of my sons do the intro for this podcast, and you wouldn't believe how many people contacted me about that. Actually, hearing one of my kids' voices on the podcast made a big impression upon people. When I meet people in public, that's the podcast episode that people tend to remember the most for some reason. They don't even remember the content I had there, but they remember the fact that I allowed my kid to be on my podcast, and that was something that connected with many people, I guess, who are parents as well. And so allowing these little personality quirks, your personal situation, but also your vulnerabilities into your podcast can really make a deeper connection with people as well. The other thing I will say by way of a personal example is some of the podcasts where I've shared my failures and mistakes have been the most powerful. I did a podcast about my procrastination and my character trait of being a perfectionist and as a result, procrastinating. That podcast, again, had a massive impact upon people. I did another podcast years ago now about my health situation, how I was gradually putting on weight and what I did about that. Those podcasts are slightly off topic in some ways, but they actually had a massive impact and made a deeper connection with people. So sharing your vulnerabilities, share your personality, really important.
Creating great content and building your audience. This is ProBlogger.
Number six. People with authority, the people with influence that I respect the most, they share their transformations and conversions. And this is a massive part of them being seen as a credible source. They don't just talk about the destination of where they've arrived, but they talk about their origins and who they were when they started out. This inspires, and it also makes them more relatable. Now, if you think about it, you know, if you were hiring a personal trainer, would you be more likely to hire a personal trainer who was born with chiseled abs, perfect genetics, and had no struggles in their health journey? Or would you prefer to go to someone who has really struggled with, you know, their nutrition and with exercise over the years, but through trial and error has gotten to a point where they're healthy? I personally would prefer someone who has had ups and downs over their life and who has come out the other end in a better place, because I can relate to that type of person. I can't relate to someone with chiseled abs who's always had chiseled abs and has got perfect genetics and who's never struggled with their health. I prefer to go and see someone who has journeyed through it and can relate to the struggles that I'm having. And the same is true with building authority in your particular topic. If you can demonstrate by telling your story about who you were and who you are now, you may have reached a point where things are really great. But what were things like in the way to getting there? Actually sharing those stories is a very powerful thing. And again, this sort of taps into the transparency and the vulnerability. But it's amazing how many people on their about pages talk about their achievements and talk about where they are now, but they don't actually tell their story. I think your About page is a brilliant place for you to tell stories about your journey, about your transformations, about your conversions to the way that you're living today. Again, it's not just about the destination, but it's about the journey. People are much more interested in the journey that you've had than the destination that you're at now. So weave that into your About page, weave that into your brand if you can, weave that into the way you promote your blog, the taglines that you have, your content. You can be constantly telling those little stories. Pretty much every time I talk, I tell my stories of becoming a blogger, and I talk about how I really had no credentials to be a blogger. I talk about how it took me 3 months to work out how to make text bold on my blog once I'd started. And this, I guess, is an anti-credential in some ways, you know, me talking about my weaknesses, but it illustrates the transformation, you know, to get from that to being a full-time blogger, to get from no readers to having, you know, millions of readers. That is something that people get inspired by all the time, but they can also relate to that because they can relate to having those same challenges in the early days as well. So share your transformations, build your brand on those transformations that you've had, and it's a very powerful thing. Number seven thing, over halfway now, is that they tend to be positive, optimistic, and constructive in their outlook. And I'm thinking here about the people who I'm drawn to. So maybe it's just partly my personality coming out here, but I personally am much more likely to be influenced by and see someone as an authority on their topic when they have this more positive, optimistic outlook. They're not just interested in busting myths and tearing down and critiquing. They spend more time presenting solutions, solving problems, and pointing to a way forward. Now, this isn't to say that from time to time you can't get negative with your blog. I think being negative, being critiquing something, busting myths, these type of things can actually play a part in building authority. To show that side of yourself from time to time can be important, but you don't want to be known purely as a negative person. Now, I know some people do build their whole brand around critique, but most of the people I've seen attempt that don't tend to last the journey, or they tend to transition into a more positive person at some point because they realize that people come to them for the critique, but they're coming almost more for the entertainment of the critique and the snarkiness. But they don't actually see them as an authority on that topic. And I think back probably about 10 years ago in the blogging about blogging space, there were a number of people who started blogs about blogging who started blogs that were very negative, very snarky. They were talking about the negative things that they were seeing other people were doing, and they were having a go at people, and they were tearing down, and they were calling them out. And their blogs became very popular. They got a lot of traffic, but no one actually saw them as an authority on their topic. No one actually bought their products. No one actually saw them as an authority in their space because they weren't actually putting forward a solution alongside their critique. Go there if you need to from time to time, bust myths, critique, that's fine from time to time, but always do it with a solution, with an alternative, and you're going to be in a much better position. They're positive, they're optimistic, they're more constructive than being known for being negative. Number eight, they build a platform of giving and generosity before they promote. There's definitely a time for asking. There's definitely a time for selling what you do. But as I think about the people who I see as influencers and the people who I've bought their products, the asking tends to be dwarfed by their giving and by their generosity. Serve others, don't be self-serving. Yes, you need to win out of the scenario, and this is a trap that some bloggers get into, is that they just give and don't actually get. You've got to get some balance in there on that, but you want to be known as generous before you ask. Blogs like Copyblogger. You know, I read Copyblogger for years. Brian Clark, Sonia Simone generously gave amazing teaching. I read them for years, and as a result of that, anytime they released a product, I was a buyer of that product based upon the generosity of what they'd done. I wanted to reciprocate, and the only reason I bought their products was because they were so generous. So build a platform of generosity, of giving before you ask or promote. Number nine, they show up, they deliver quality, they ship, they're reliable. You know, authority isn't just built on what you know, but rather people knowing they can rely and depend upon you. People knowing that you have their back. Don't be flaky. Don't promise things that you don't deliver upon. You want to be shipping. You want to be showing up. If you say that you are going to do a podcast every week, do a podcast every week. If you say you're going to do a blog post every week, do a blog post every week. If you're going to send an email newsletter every week, send that email newsletter every week and do everything you can to show up. Now, it's not to say that you can't take a break, but, you know, forecast that break. Tell people the reason why you're taking that break. I guess it's reliability. It's being there for your reader and them feeling like you're consistent and you're going to continue to show up and you're going to have their back. This builds credibility. You know, when people know that you deliver a podcast every week or that you deliver articles every week and you deliver that newsletter, they begin to show up expecting that you'll be there as well. Be reliable in that way.
How to build and monetize your blog. This is ProBlogger.
Point number 10 is to keep your messaging clear and simple. Did you notice how clearly and simply I said that? Keep your messaging clear and simple. You know, authority isn't built upon making yourself look smart and lording your intelligence over those who follow you. Authority comes when you make your audience feel smart, when you facilitate them making discoveries, when their knowledge grows because of you. So again, let me think about this. You know, it's not about you looking smart. It's about you making your readers feel smart. I love the quote from a guy called Adam Grant. He said, "Good communicators make themselves look smart. Great communicators make their audience feel smart." Really important distinction there. And the old school way of building authority is about, look at me, look at me, look at all the things that I know, look at all the things that I can say, look at all the big words that I can use. That might make you look good, but influence, trust is built upon people feeling that they are benefiting from the relationship and that they are getting smarter as a result of you. And this needs to shine through in your content, you know, the way you write your content. I've read a number of articles recently that talk about how the best communicators actually write at a lower level. They write at an eighth grade level rather than a university level. Actually writing in a way that your readers can understand the words. They don't need to go away and look up words in dictionaries. They don't need to guess at the jargon you use. Actually writing in a very clear way that makes your readers feel they can understand what you're saying is actually so powerful in building authority and credibility as well. So it needs to shine through in the content that you use, but also in the way you promote yourself as well. Don't just make yourself look smart, make your readers look smart. Bring them into that in many ways that you can. Number 11 is one that I'm really passionate about. Great influencers use their influence for the benefit of those they influence. Now, there's too many influencers in there, but think about this. A lot of influencers use their influence to benefit them. You know, I want to be influential. Why do you want to be influential? I want to be influential because it's going to get me a car. It's going to get me a holiday. It's going to get me money. It's going to get me all this stuff. I'm going to get a lot out of being influential. The reality is that that's only going to get you so far. Great influencers use their influence for the benefit of other people. Use your influence for the benefit of other people. I see a lot of people trying to build authority and influence because of how that influence and authority will improve their lives. But I'm struck by the fact that many of the great influencers that I've met live very simply. And they use their influence to benefit others. So what can you do that's going to improve the situation of your readers and make the world a better place in some way. Actually ask that question from time to time and you will discover ways to use your influence, as small as it may be, to benefit other people. Now, obviously you can write content that's going to solve your readers' problems, but what more could you do? What more could you do for your readers? Now, for example, I think about this for ProBlogger, what can I do to benefit you as an audience? And one of the things that we've been realizing over the last year or so is that, yeah, we can teach you how to blog, but one of the needs that we see a lot of bloggers having is they want more traffic. And particularly new bloggers, you know, as you start your blog, you've got no traffic. And one of the things we realized as we were doing this start a blog course that we launched recently is that we can actually help our students to get their first traffic. And so this is why we started International Starter Blog Day, which happened yesterday as I record this. And we actually promoted the 103 blogs that started as a result of our course, because we realized we could not only help these bloggers to start their blogs, but we could actually give them a little bit of traffic. And so we've been promoting these blogs. And I had an email this morning from someone who said, wow, I had 100 readers yesterday. I never thought I'd get 100 readers on the first day of my blog. What could you do that could help your readers to have their dreams come true? What could you do to help your readers' dreams come true? Don't just use your influence to make your dreams come true. Find creative ways to make your readers' dreams come true as well. Point number 12, I've got two more here. Point number 12, these influencers, these authoritative people that I respect, don't seek to be known, liked, and trusted. They show that they know, like, and trust their audience. Now, I've spoken about this before, you know, the quote by Bob Berg, you know, people do business with those that they know, like, and trust. This is a very well-known quote, and I believe it. You know, people will want to do business with you when they know, like, and trust you. But one of the ways that you speed up people knowing, liking, and trusting you is to actually do those things to them as well. And I think this quote is a two-way thing. Don't just try and be known. Don't just try and be liked. Don't just try and be trusted, but actually display that you know your audience, that you like your audience, and that you trust your audience. Let's just break that down a little bit. Do you know your audience? The more you know your audience, the better position you're in to build authority with them. So do your research on who is reading your blog. You know, who are they? Their demographics? What are their needs? What are their dreams? When you know these things, you're in a much better position to serve them. And as a result, they're going to begin to realize that you actually know who they are. One of the best things that I get is emails from time to time from people saying, I feel like that podcast was for me. That is because I've spent a lot of time trying to understand who is my audience. And I create content based upon knowing who they are, having met many of them at our conferences and our events, but also talking to them on Facebook Lives and those types of things as well. So the more you get to know your audience and show them that you know who they are, the more they're going to want to know, like, and trust you as well. So know your audience. Know, like, and trust. Like your audience. Show warmth to your audience. Show your audience that you actually like them. Make your audience feel they are charismatic. You know, a lot of bloggers, you know, they want to be charismatic themselves. Well, actually make your audience feel like you know them, but you also like them. Spend time with them. Get on Facebook Live and answer their questions. Hang out with them. You know, some of the most popular Facebook Lives that I've done have been the ones where I've sat with a beer on a Friday afternoon and I've just said, let's hang out. And we've just chatted back and forth. We've asked questions of each other. We've hung out. We've had fun. Those are the types of things that actually, as I look back over the years, have built relationships with my audience the most. Hang out with them. Show them that you like them. And lastly, show them that you trust them. And this comes down to this vulnerability that I was talking about before. When you share something of yourself, you're showing your audience that you trust them. By me sharing that I've got three boys, and me sharing that, you know, I've just been on holidays, and me sharing some of the mistakes that I've made, some of the insecurities that I have, that shows that I trust you as my audience. I wouldn't share that type of stuff if I didn't have some trust of you, if I didn't like you. So don't just try and be known, be liked, and be trusted. The way you actually do that is to know who you're speaking to like them, and to show that you like them, and to trust them. Very important.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
And the last thing I say about building influence and trust and authority is that it takes time. And most of the people that I see as influencers and authoritative type people, and people that I see as having credibility in the topics that they talk about, as I think about it, and I was reflecting on this week, is they've all been around for a while. I've been following them for a while, and it didn't happen overnight. You know, I look at, you know, someone like Chris Guillebeau. He's been blogging for years, probably for a decade or so now. And he's someone that gradually over time I've come to know, like, and trust. He's someone that over time I've begun to see has authority on certain areas. And it's because he's done all of the things that I've just talked about. He's been vulnerable. He's put himself out there. He's kept his messaging clear. He's shown up. He's delivered on his promises. All of these things I've just talked about, he's done them, but he's done them time and time and time again over the years. And it's the accumulation of that that makes me think, yeah, he's credible. I can trust him. He's an authority. And that is key. So I know that's a little bit disheartening for those of you who just finished our Starter Blog course and you just started, but you know, it's the accumulation of the little things that you do over time that are going to lead to people knowing, liking, and trusting you, and people seeing you as an authority. It doesn't happen overnight. It's the accumulation of these things. It's the longevity of you doing these things over time that's really going to count the most. Yes, you can build little bits of influence early on, but it's going to exponentially grow the longer you show up and the more consistent you are with these things over time as well. I really hope that has been helpful to you. I hope it's been clear and simple enough. As I've kind of thought through it, you know, I'm very aware that, you know, different people grow their authority and influence in different ways. You know, I've thought about, I actually made a list of about 20 people that I see as authorities in their niches. And as I looked at the list, I saw some of these characteristics, but in every time I looked at a different person, I'm like, yeah, but they don't quite fit with this one. So I want to emphasize again that those 13 things I've just talked about, there's a different mix in play for each person. So take it as I put it out there. Some of it will resonate with you. Some of it you want to try. Some of it you might not relate to as much. But somewhere in the mix of all that, I think, are some answers. I've got some further reading for you today. I've got a few articles that I read in the preparation for this podcast. There's an article from copy blogger Damien Farmworth, 10 Ways to Build Authority as an Author, which kind of overlapped with a few of the things that I said. And then Shane Snow has a couple of articles that I'll link to, and a couple of articles that he wrote about the level that writers write at. And I kind of touched on that, you know, in keeping your messaging clear and simple. He's written about some investigation that he's done that talk about how writers that are most powerful in their communication tend to write at a lower level. And he did some research into the level that, you know, great writers write at. And he found about the eighth grade level was about the level that they were writing at. And that made them more relatable and easy to read. And so I'll link to those in the show notes today, as well as some further listening on the podcast as well. You can find today's show notes over at problogger.com/podcast/235. Thanks so much for listening. And if you've got a moment, I would love it if you would head over to the ProBlogger blog and check out our list of 103 bloggers who've started their blogs. The reason that we do have that list public is that we want you to visit them. We would love it if you would encourage those bloggers. Now, I know a lot of you have been blogging for years now, and I want to encourage you just to remember what it was like that first week that you launched your blog. Wouldn't it have made your day if someone had shown up on your blog and left a comment? Wouldn't it have made your day if someone had shared your blog on their social media account? That would have been so encouraging for you. And I really want to encourage you to head over to that list and find a blog that you can leave a comment on, maybe more than one. Find a blog that you resonate with that you could share on your social media account. Pass on a little bit of the traffic that you have. Use your influence to build and benefit other people as well. I really encourage you to do that. We love the fact that there's all these new blogs out there and excited that there's a lot more coming as well. I think almost 2,000 people have started that starter blog course already. We've seen 100 blogs launch, and there's quite a few coming up behind them in the coming months as well. So anything you can do to support those new bloggers would be fantastic. Thanks so much for listening today. I will link to that on a roll in the show notes as well. problogger.com/podcast/235. Chat with you next week.
You've been listening to Pro Blogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at ProBlogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger or search ProBlogger on iTunes.
This episode of the ProBlogger podcast was edited by the team at Podcast Motor, who offer a great range of services, including helping you to set up and launch your podcast, as well as ongoing editing and production of the podcast that you produce. You can check them out at podcastmotor.com.